Morning, everybody. So I'm Jeff McDaniel. A little while ago, I was asked to lead a conference down in Florida. It was a mental health conference, and so I signed up for that, and I was going down to lead that. And a friend of mine, you guys might know him, he goes by the name Chad Boer. Anybody recognize that name? Yeah. One of my favorite people. So Chad said, hey, man, I think you should get in touch with the worship pastor before the whole thing. So I'm like, good to go. So I meet this guy who is like legit built like a grizzly bear with a very beautiful beard. But like this dude has the voice of an angel. Like when he sings, it's like a million little elf fingers massaging your soul all at one time. It's unreal, right? And so I meet this guy, and the reason that I started talking with him is like this brother had a rough upbringing, right? And like he had a dad who hurt him deeply, and there was a lot of wounds in there. And like he's got a dad who still hurts him to this day. I don't know if anybody can connect with a parent who still hurts them, like even though you're old, right? So he went through that, and he was struggling with that, but that wasn't the reason that I was put in touch with him several months before the conference. You see, like, he was the first guy who showed up on scene when his nephew killed himself with a shotgun, and he spent the next 2 weeks cleaning up and cleaning out his room. And during that time, he started to believe a lot of false beliefs that hurt him deeply. Pain doesn't even begin to describe what he was feeling, right? And so our conversations before the conference, they didn't revolve around that or theology or how we're going to do it. It revolved around why he shouldn't kill himself. And the bottom line is, like, before the conference came up, a little while before, he informed me that he had pretty much given God an ultimatum that, like, you either work and give me hope and remove this pain, or I'm done. Like, the conference is it. No pressure here, right? Like, so that's what we stepped into, was you either work or I'm done. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will." You guys, I'm here to tell you right now, we as a church are struggling. The patterns of this world that we have conformed to are happening inside the church as well. Quarter one FY24, the Army experienced the highest suicide rate in the history of ever. Veteran suicides, what's being reported is the numbers around 22 a day. I'm telling you right now, it's closer to 44 a day. In 2023, the U.S. population writ large experienced the highest suicide rate in the history of ever for America. Nearly 50,000 suicides in 1 year, 2023. Inside the church, 46% of church members report struggling with mental health. That's almost 50% openly tell people, yes, I'm struggling with mental health. So how many are not reporting? It's a lot more than that, right? Inside the military, PTSD is nearly four times the rate of the civilian population. You guys, we are called to go out into that, but even inside, it's 50% report struggling. We are losing the war right now, and we're losing bad. So here's my question. Does God have a plan for that? Or does God look at this one, he's like, woo, you guys are on your own on that one. I have no idea how we're going to fix all that. Is that what God says when we ask him what the plan is to make the pain go away? No. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so, so much. And so many of us are hurting, God. And we need to know the plan. We need to know how you fix it and how we help other people make the pain go away. Father God, I beg that you speak to people, and those who need to hear it, they hear exactly what they need to hear. We love you so, so much, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, so the body is made to heal itself, all right? So if I get a cut on my arm, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to try really hard to make a scab grow. The body will naturally heal itself, right? Bones heal. I don't have to do anything. The mind is no different. The mind is made to heal itself. So here's the deal. If my body is not healing, I have to ask myself, what am I doing to impede the healing, right? Like if I keep picking the scab and I keep recutting, of course it's not going to heal, but I had to do something to implement, to impede the healing there. And so it's no different mentally. Now, as a military guy, I would feel like I have not actually given you a good message if I don't quote Sun Tzu from The Art of War. This joker wrote this like 500 years before Jesus, so he was dropping truth bombs a long time ago. So check this out. This is what he had to say. If you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. Now, look at this. I think this is the vast majority of our church. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. The patterns of this world that we conform to are killing us because we don't know the enemy and we don't know ourselves. So this morning, I want to help you understand to know your enemy and to know yourself. So let's start with the enemy. Anybody have a clue who your enemy is? One person does. Yes, that's an easy one, right? Satan. Okay, Satan has two goals or objectives that he wants to do. Number one, Satan wants to get you to believe something false about your identity. Number two, Satan wants to isolate you, to take you out of community. Here's the reason why. Number one, once you know your identity and you fearlessly live in that identity, there is nothing in this world that can stop you. Nothing. And number two, the human body, the human psyche, physiologically was made to be in community. We thrive in community and we die in isolation. So, to achieve this, these two goals, Satan has one weapon only, one tactic only, one, and that is to lie. If Satan can lie to you and get you to believe a lie, he will achieve everything that he wants. Here's the reason why. And we see this in the Garden of Eden. As soon as he lies and we believe something false about ourselves, about God, or about other people, there are three emotions that come into humanity. Fear, guilt, and shame. Now, I need to define those. And so this is the only reason I went and got a PhD, is because once you become a doctor, you can make up your own definitions and they just fly. Totally worth all the time and the money just to be able to make up my own definitions. So my definition of fear is the biophysiological response to the concept of death. Death of my life, death of my marriage, death of my bank account, death of anything. When a living creature perceives death, the natural response is fear, because it's made as a safety mechanism. It's made to keep you alive, right? And so it's a naturalistic response. The problem comes in when we keep it turned on long term. Right? It's made to keep you alive when a grizzly bear chases you, because so many of us have been chased by grizzly bears. Guilt is the fear of disconnection from community because of what I have done. Shame is the fear of disconnection from community because of who I am. But you'll notice even those other two are rooted in fear. Number one exhortation through all of Scripture, fear not. There's a reason why. Once we have fear in us as a human being, there's only two humanistic responses to those. And this makes it very easy as you're going out to recognize when someone's living in fear, because the two responses are to self-protect and self-promote. Fear generates pain in us, and we do not want pain in us. And so we will do something to get the pain to go away. The first one is self-protect, and that is where I fight the world and the world fights me. Ever bumped into these people who are just like pure up, like rattlesnakes? Like you just get around them and they're already spitting venom at you and you have no idea. Yeah, that's self-protect. Ever like said something that was, you didn't mean anything by it, and somebody just flies off the handle and just yells back and just very defensive? Self-protect. You've hit a nerve with fear somewhere in there. Now, this one is super popular inside the church especially, but self-promote. Self-promote is when I work my butt off. I work myself to death to prove to the world that I am good enough because I don't believe I am good enough. And so I now need to do something to show everyone that I am good enough. This is when I don't really feel good enough, and so I have to work my butt off to prove to God that I'm good enough. I need to work my butt off to prove that I'm actually a good Christian so that all the other Christians think that I'm good enough. See where I'm going with that? And man, it just kills you because it's rooted in fear. When I have fear, there's two chemicals that get released. I mean, there's more, but two primary chemicals. Fear releases adrenaline and cortisol. Now, those chemicals are very useful when I'm being chased by a bear because they make you superhuman. They give you extra strength, but it's meant for the short term, right? It's meant to just make you run faster than the guy next to you so that the bear catches him, not you, right? And so, again, the problem comes when I leave the faucet turned on and those chemicals keep dropping, because in the short term, they're not too bad. But in the long term, they kill us from the inside out. Current research is revealing the quantum physics. So my wife's getting her PhD in the quantum physics of integrative healthcare. She is definitely the smart one in the family. But what we are finding through quantum physics is that you name the disease, cancer, diabetes, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, you name it, it's rooted in these chemicals. It's rooted in the belief system that you have that's releasing these chemicals. We are literally killing ourselves when we leave the faucet turned on, when we use the same chemicals to run away from a bear as we do because I'm afraid of not being good enough for my parents. Now, I really reap the benefits from this one. My wife has her own practice doing women's wellness and aesthetics. So this is everybody, men and women, but particularly women. I can't believe how much money is spent on anti-aging to look younger. Ladies, I can save you a ton of money. You should still go to my wife's practice because that's good. I can save you a ton of money. You want to look younger? Turn off the faucet of adrenaline and cortisol. Those are the chemicals that make you age. Your internal thoughts and fears of not being good enough is aging you and killing you. So is Satan's strategy effective? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is destroying us one thought at a time. Now, he doesn't play fair, all right? So neural pathways in our brain, it's like our operating system, right? So like every event that we go through, every minute of every day, your operating system is going. Those are neural pathways, okay? Neural pathways in a human being, they begin to be formed while you're in the womb, and they are completed in a human being by the ages of 6 to 10. If you missed that, your operating system was created by a 6-year-old. You pick that up? Now, most of you seem like very good constructive members of society, productive members of society. So I'm guessing for the most part, six-year-old you did a really good job of assessing the situations in your life to build good neural pathways. But I'm here to tell you, six-year-old you assessed a few things wrong. And when you assess some things wrong, that neural pathway was formed based on a false belief. And that neural pathway, every time it's triggered, generates fear because it's based on a false belief. Here's the deal, guys. Time does not heal false. Only truth heals false. That is the reason why you can work with a 60-year-old CEO of a Fortune 500 company who is brilliant in every way until one time you trigger something and that CEO responds like a six-year-old. And everybody's like, what in the world just happened? Now, no show of hands, but I'm guessing some of you have already experienced that in your marriage as well. Like, what in the world? Why did you're acting like a child. Why did you act like a child? Well, because that neural pathway actually was formed by a child. I saw that. So here's the deal, guys. All fear except for two, is learned. The only fears that human beings are born with is the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. All other fear is learned, which means all other fear can be unlearned. However, what we have found in the laboratory as well is that fear can be genetically passed down seven generations, which means some of your fear could have begun in your great, great, great grandparents. Here's the beauty. Neuroplasticity says that you can go in and change neural pathways. It doesn't happen on its own. You have to put a little bit of effort in, but they can be changed, right? So even though you are born with a learned fear, being born with a learned fear can be unlearned, right? Epigenetics is now showing us that this whole thing, this whole theory of like, I'm born that way, no. Quantum physics is saying your mind unleashes and untriggers certain DNA, but no one is born a certain way. That is science currently what we're finding. So we can unlearn that fear. Now, stress. I know this is DC, so I'm guessing nobody really has any stress in here. No, okay. Stress obviously is rooted in fear. That doesn't take a huge logical leap to see that, right? It's all rooted in fear. So I paid a lot of money to be able to do this, so here's my definition of stress. Stress is when we take responsibility from God that was never ours to own. Stress manifested in the past is depression. Stress manifested in the future is anxiety. I have any control freaks in here? Don't raise your hand. I know it already. Why do we become control freaks? Because I have taken responsibility from God, and dear Lord, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm responsible for it. So I now need to control everything in my life, and I am killing myself slowly because to control it, I've turned the faucet on and I release chemicals, adrenaline and cortisol, because that's the only way I can control the future. And I'm killing myself. And oh, by the way, you're not actually in any control. First characteristic that we see of God in Genesis is creator. God continues to create today, but mostly through his people. He can create any way he wants, right? But primarily he's creating through his people. He makes creative people, and God speaks to us and creates through his people. All creativity in a human being happens in the prefrontal cortex. Guess what? As soon as you have fear, prefrontal cortex shuts down, you move to the amygdala. Amygdala is the fight or flight center, right? Remember my definition of fear. So when I'm in the fight or flight center, the only thing I can do is find the fastest, simplest way to not die, which means at best, all I can do is mimic someone else. That's not creativity. That's mimicry. That happens a lot. And not just in the church, that happens everywhere, right? That's why when people are actually creative, which is estimated to be only 2% of the population, to actually be creative, the rest of us just mimic people. But when you actually listen to God and you actually create from his idea, you operate at a level the world has never seen before. Guys, I'm not even touching the wave tops on this. Beth and I are coming back down in 3 weeks. We are going to teach an all-day seminar on how to walk through this. So we will go into this, not just talk about it, but actually experientially, how do you go through this? How do you walk into freedom? I need to throw that out there because a lot of people are going to have questions. But the other piece that I said, Satan's strategy, is isolation, right? And here's the reason why, is because community has tremendous healing properties for a human being. So we have these little things in our brain called mirroring neurons. Mirroring neurons is actually how we learn as human beings. But mirroring neurons is also where empathy and compassion come from. So when mirroring neurons are fired, they release just this whole slew of chemicals like dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, all of these, like just this overwhelming flood of healing benefits for the human being, right? But here's the thing, guys. The mirroring neurons, they don't necessarily happen for virtual. I'm looking right into the camera now. So there's nothing wrong with that, right? Say you can't make it. Okay, great. Watch the service. But if that's the only way that you ever participate in church, okay, that's nice. But you are missing healing benefits that God has made inherent in the church. You cannot live your life on your couch and expect there not to be negative side effects. Mirroring neurons fire when you connect with other people. You guys are off the hook now. Here. Okay, so you're next to each other. But guess what, guys? The mirroring neurons, if this is the only way you connect in church is 1 hour and you sit here and you just like drink coffee and smile at each other, very minimal mirroring neuron effects. Here's the reason why. The community, the intimacy that is required in community for those things to happen, there's one gateway, only one way to walk into that for a human being, and that's vulnerability. Until you are vulnerable with someone else. You see, the soul of a human being longs to see and be seen at the soul level by another person, by other people. And that doesn't happen when we just sit in here, right? Here's the difference. What I'm talking about is the difference between being accepted and fitting in. Being accepted is when your true identity is received by the group. Fitting in is when you have to change who you are to be a part of the group. That is highly destructive to a person. And yet, that's one of the patterns of this world that we conform to. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but D.C. was voted the number one loneliest city in America this year, followed very closely by number 8, which is Alexandria, Virginia. If you guys want to reach your community, my suggestion as an innocent bystander here is that you invite them into deep, intimate community, because a human being longs for that, whether they know it or not. It's inherent in us, and we are drawn to it. You offer that, people will come like moths to a flame. So that's our enemy. Again, I didn't even touch the wave tops on this, but now you need to know yourself, okay? So knowing yourself, God gives us a solution in Genesis 3, 9 through 11. So right before that is where Adam and Eve eat the apple, and those three negative emotions come into humanity, right? So already Satan's strategy is at play, and immediately God provides the solution to it, our counter to it. So Adam and Eve eat the apple. They now realize they're naked. Like, high fashion enters humanity, and they sew some fig leaves. It's like designer skirt made out of leaves. And God then walks in, and they're hiding, and God, in verse 9, poses a very important question. And God says, "Where are you?" Now, guys, did Adam and Eve become such good hide and seekers that God couldn't find them? I mean, was an omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing God actually stumped? No. So who was the question for? I mean, Scripture says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? I think that's in the Bible. I know it's on a plaque on a big building in this area, right? This was never for God. This was for us. God asks us today, where are you? We need to know what our body is telling us. You see, we have a limbic system physically. You get a splinter in your finger and your body sends a signal to your brain saying something came in, you need to get it out because it's hurting you. Spiritually, we have a spiritual limbic system. When we believe something false, our body sends negative emotions throughout our body and they are revealing something false has come in, you need to get it out. But here's the deal. There's like 300 different words in the English language for emotions. Men in America typically have a vocabulary that tops out at 6. Don't believe me? Try it. Like, just try to think. Go beyond 6 really quick, right? It's not easy. Several months ago now, I was doing this, and this good old boy, Southern guy with a thick Southern accent, I challenged him. He's like, I reckon I could name at least 6. I'm like, all right, go for it, right? Well, angry, hungry, horny. And I'm like, no. That's not what we're talking about, right? But think about it. That's all he could think, right? If you think about it really closely, all three of those name what the reptilian brain works on. So understanding your emotions, taking time at the end of each day to actually think, what did I feel today? Then you got truth telling in verse 10. God says, where are you? Adam actually says, I was afraid. I'm naked and afraid, right? So truth telling, we need to tell the truth. I'll go into more of that when we do the training. Then God, after Adam tells the truth, God in verse 11 says, who told you that? Brilliant question, right? Because God's like, I didn't tell you that, so who told you that? If we're not hearing from God, we will believe anything we hear. And I'm here to tell you right now, Satan, the world, they are constantly telling you lies, constantly telling you things. But here's the one that you need to understand. Your own body is also telling you lies. There's three parts of our brain, makes up almost like three different brains. We've got a thinking brain, a feeling brain, and a being brain, right? The thinking brain comes up with a thought, sends a message to your feeling brain. Your feeling brain releases the neuropeptides. The neuropeptides push down. Chemicals go out, right? Your body becomes a use to that. Skip way forward in this teaching. Your body becomes addicted to those chemicals. You grow used to this feeling. So even though it's a feeling that's hurting you, it's anxious, your body's now addicted. Even though your mind says, I don't like this, I want to think otherwise, your body has now taken control and it's sending messages back and it's addicted, which means it can't just stay here. I need more of the drug. So all of a sudden, oh, I hate this, but boy, I need more drama in my life because I need more anxious in my life. So 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. You guys, that is both conscious and subconscious thought. If you can't take your subconscious thoughts captive to Christ, you are nothing but a victim the rest of your life. Your body that is addicted to the chemicals will keep you stuck feeling horrible all the time. But God has given us a way to take every thought captive. If you get your identity from what you have, what you do, or what people think of you, you are already a victim. Somebody else is living your life for you. If you're not in community where you can be vulnerable, where you are accepted and you don't have to fit in, you've already been isolated and it's just a matter of time before you're devoured. The only solution, your weapon, is to rediscover your true identity, then walk fearlessly in that identity in true community. Now, that worship pastor we talked about at the beginning, God gave God the ultimatum, right? God showed up. I think it's best if he tells you the story, though, not me. So,
growing up in church, we're taught to trust in God. We're taught that he is the loving father of so many great things. And that everything he does because he loves us. I became a pastor. I taught this. I preached this. This was who I was. God's grace, God's love for us. June 20th, I got a phone call from my brother that my nephew had gotten into one of his guns, a shotgun, and chose to take his life. I'll never forget the way that I felt, completely helpless, completely hopeless, not knowing why God did what he did. I spent the next 2 weeks cleaning Alexander's room, scrubbing blood off the floor, tearing all the drywall out in the room, replacing the ceiling fan, replacing the ceiling. I spent 2 weeks being angry at God, saying, why did it have to be this way? Why did it have to be him? Why couldn't it be me? Why was it me that was the one that had to clean this up? Why? All I wanted to know was why. A buddy of mine named Chad called me one day and just asked me how I was doing, and I said, man, I'm not sleeping. I just have nightmares. I don't have peace. The God that I thought I knew, he's not here for me. I've come to this place where I don't trust God with anything. I don't trust him with my personal life, with my family, with anything. Jeff said, well, Andrew, have you talked to God about this? Have you told God this is how you feel? I was like, no, I can't say that to God. I can't tell God that I don't trust him. I can't say that to him. That's blasphemy. You don't tell God that. 3 days later, after having about 4 hours of sleep in those 3 days, I had just come to this point of being completely drained. And I felt so overwhelmed. And I remember waking up from a horrible night of somewhat of sleep and just looking up towards heaven and crying out and saying, I don't trust you. I don't trust you with my family. I don't trust you with anything. You have hurt me, and you are unworthy of my trust. And I remember as soon as I said it, I thought I would feel relief. But all I felt was fear. Because now I had said this to God. I told him how I really felt. And now he had the opportunity to leave me. Jeff came down for our men's retreat and was teaching, and I still just hadn't really let go of my pain, my anger. I was learning that, man, the enemy just, he had a hold on me. That night at the men's retreat, I had a dream, really a nightmare, that these little midget clowns on tricycles were chasing me. And behind their tricycles, they were dragging chains with them. And just as one of them had swung the chain and grabbed my foot, I woke up and sweating and just freaking out. And riding home, I remember asking God to show me who I'm supposed to be. Tell me who I am, because I don't know. Everything that I thought I believed, I was questioning. A few days later, I had another dream. And I was in my quiet place, my calm place, and unconditional love, or Jesus, sat down beside me. And he said, Andrew, I have called you to be a chain breaker. I've called you to be someone who helps people break chains in their life. But in order for those chains to be broken and you to be able to do that, we have to break the chains that are in your life. I remember looking at him and saying, you don't understand, they're not just little chains, they're buried into me. And he goes, it's gonna hurt, and it's gonna be hard, but we've gotta get him out. I remember calling Jeff and saying, bro, I just had another dream. I know what my identity is. I'm a chain breaker. God called me a chain breaker. Do you remember what the clowns were dragging? They were dragging chains. I finally had hope that God could come into my life and break these chains that I've been holding on to for so many years. My name is Andrew Williams, and I am a chain breaker.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. If I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. If I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kind that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. If I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. If I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I
So I forgot to tell you guys that Pastor's here today. Physically, and he's here today. You get that? Yeah. He's still with us because God sets people free. All right, be honest. Anybody have the little elf fingers tickling your soul right now when he sings? Like, dear Lord, man, He's better than Luke Combs. All right, so your next steps out of this, right? So Beth and I are coming back down, I think in 3 weeks, and we're going to lead a training. It's an all-day training. It's limited to 21 people because this isn't about some big auditorium where we give you information. It's about high quality, working with you to experience the voice of God setting you free. So my first challenge for you is, Jody has a sign up right outside this door. Put your name down and sign up for training, because we have proof right here. God transforms, radically transforms people very, very quickly once you let go of false beliefs and step into truth. The second piece, if you have not already joined a group, if you're not a part of a group, right? If this is your only experience here, don't leave today without taking the next step to actually be in a deep, intimate community. That is what church is about, okay? You are missing incredible healing benefits in your life by not doing that. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we love you so, so much. We thank you for showing up. Lord, we thank you for Andrew. He's one of my favorite people in the world, and I thank you so much, Lord, that you worked in my brother's life. I beg you, Lord, that you work in the other hearts here who are struggling, who are hurting. We know, Lord, that you bring hope, that you bring joy, that you bring peace. You are the solution to make the pain go away, but there is hope. There is a day after the pain. And we love you so, so much. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.